Nice. What's going on, y'all? Cope's Christian Originals here. Just trying something different. We got Miguelito with us having coffee. I think I'm going to call this the Corpus and Coffee Edition. Yeah, man. So we're just talking about comedy and stuff. So you've been doing comedy for 5 years?
Yeah, starting year five right now. I started in late October of 2021 and been rocking it ever since. Man, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. So why comedy? Like, what made you take decide comedy?
Honestly, I've always been doing comedy in some kind of capacity, right? Like, whether it was in theater arts, in high school and stuff.
Mm.
Whenever I did speech and debate in high school and college, I'd always try to do funny presentations.
Yeah.
Right. So, as far as stand up goes, that was just because another local comedian, Roland Alanis, heard about an open mic at Sal's way back in the day.
Wow.
And we went to it. I remember it was a 20 minute drive from the west side to Sal's. And when I first was asked to go, I thought it was just to go support because I don't do stand up. But then he hesitated to sign up. So I was dude, I didn't drive all this way to see something. So I signed up first.
Crazy.
And then, what's it called? I had no idea what I was going to say. And it was bad. It was not good, right? But the only thing that I got as a compliment, though, from all the comedians were dude, is that your first time ever on stage? I was technically, no, right? I've done these other things. Really good stage presence, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't very funny. It's the equivalent of saying you're pretty for a fat girl, right? You know what I mean? It was kind of a little backhanded. It was thanks, man, but I know what you're really trying to say, right?
So how'd you get funny?
Work, man. I just think that it took us a couple times to get back there. We didn't go right away, right? It was I got work, I got this, I got that. Eventually, I was you know what? No, let's go. Let's try it. And this time, let me actually go with real material. Mm. And I got maybe one or two laughs. And I'm the kind of person that if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it well.
Right.
So it was just kind of focusing on, trying to improve on my writing specifically. I'd look up anything I could about how to write for comedy online.
Yeah.
I could find stuff like that and just refine over time, right?
Wow.
So, yeah.
So crazy, man. So, obviously, you learn how to write and stuff like that. Dang. Because I'm trying to figure out, how do you get from here to here? You know what I mean? And sure. I guess stage time is part of the writing process, would you
say? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think, one of the only art forms that you absolutely need on audience some kind of capacity, right? Because you have to gauge that it's funny to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because think about it this way, we do that everywhere, even online, right? We see a funny tweet or a funny Facebook post, right? You're posting it so other people can see, and you gauge it off of reactions if people enjoyed it or views or however. Same thing in stand-up. The only way you'll know it's funny is if someone else laughs that isn't you, right?
Yeah.
So that's your confirmation. So you have to kind of think about that whenever you're writing. Not to mention, some comedians prefer writing on stage, in the moment, being okay, let me feel it out right now. Is this going to work? Or is this somewhere I could take it? Or did I lose them here? Right. So,
So how do you change gears as far as being in front of a open mic audience compared to a paid audience or something like that?
Dude, oh man. Think of open mics as a gym. That's the way I think, right? You're trying to work out, you know what I mean? Your paid shows, the big shows, are a bodybuilding contest, right? Okay. So that's where you get to flex and show all of your work, right?
That's right.
But the boring part is lifting the weights and
doing
squats whatever. You know what I mean?
It's not the fancy part.
Oh, no. Yeah, definitely not, right? But honestly, I'm kind of getting back to basics. I'm glad you said that because I'm such a perfectionist and I'm so meticulous that I fall into the trap of treating mics too much like Mr. Universe. You know what I mean? And so I don't get to have fun anymore. I don't get to work out, right? I'm trying to be all right, my form is so perfect, but I've only done two freaking go around. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to be okay, it's cool, relax. You can be messy. you don't always have to be 10 out of 10, right? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? But like, yeah, once the mic work is done and you've like really like sharpened the material that you have, mm-hmm. then when you try it at a show, I personally feel like it's so much easier, right? Because the psychology is
weird.
I paid for this, I'm expecting a certain kind of quality product, and
yeah,
and I get to have fun with that versus like an open mic. You know, if it's not at a comedy club specifically,
yeah.
you're almost having to like...
Like random people.
Yeah, random people at, you know, this bar, this coffee shop, or the basement of a restaurant, right? You know what I mean? These are all real places, yeah. right? That I've performed at. You have to convince them like, okay, this isn't usually what you see here, but if you just trust me for a few minutes, like, I got you, and then we'll have some fun, right? And then crazy. Once they're on board... The rest of like your set will probably be good, and hopefully the night, right? Because it's more comics that yeah. figure or whatever.
Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean? Okay. So you said you want to get back to basics.
Yeah.
So you got to a point where you felt like you got away from that, and it's not working. Like, well, yeah. why did you decide to go back to basics in the first place?
Yeah, man. I think well, because now I have expectations to live up to, right? So I think it was different when I first started out. It was proving to people that I was somebody funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a new kind of pressure where I think I have to prove that I am still funny. It's a different kind of pressure Weird. Entirely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially because I think there was the Rock Hard Show at House of Rock in November.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a big wake up call for me to be like, dude, you need to get together. Because when they called me out, oh, it's Miguelito. There was this enthusiastic applause and like, you know, hooting and hollering from the crowd. I'm like, okay, that doesn't sound like just a casual like, oh, you know, I'm doing this because it's a formality. Like, they were really excited to hear me.
Mm.
And I went up there for reasons, I got given more time
mm-hmm.
for that show. When I was only planning on doing like 2 minutes worth of like brand new material, right?
Mm.
But I got like three times as much time. So I was like, okay, let me just do like the jokes that are bangers that I know always work, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't get as big of laughs. And I realized it's because everybody, like I saw people were like mouthing along
right.
to my material. I'm like, oh no, these are all like people who've seen me before, which is again, like good right. problem to have because they know you, they like you, they're invested.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody laughed hard at the new stuff. But it was like, I need to start writing more. Like I've been too like... focused on this or that or what have you, that like you know, people are starting to want more, right? They get tired of the same old, right? And I think I've amassed about like 25 like solid like top to bottom
yeah.
minutes of material, right? But it has been yeah. like, again, so meticulous, this word, this phrase, so this crazy. Dennis, this, that, the other, dude, like, yeah, I got notes on notes on like sets.
So is your yeah. kind of like traditional setup, punchline, storytelling, like what's your style?
That's a good question.
How did you start? Did you start up setup, punchline stuff?
So I guess I didn't really think about formatting as much as a point of view, right? So when I first started, I'm so glad that you asked. When I got like serious and when I felt like there was a change in the way that I performed on stage, I asked myself a question inspired off of the Johnny Cash biopic. I don't know if you've ever seen, right? Ooh. Where they're playing Folsom for the first time. Right? He asks them like, I don't believe you in the song that you sang or something like that. And he goes, what's wrong with it? It's like, so you're going to, so that's the song that you're going to play. If you had like a few minutes to tell God, like you thought of your time on the earth, that's what you're going to play. How it's going to be like great. And you're going to sing his praises. He's like, or you're going to play him something real, what you really think of your time here, right? Like, because that's what people want to hear. So I was like, okay, if I had 5 minutes to tell the whole world mm-hmm. who I am, what I believe in, what I'm about, what I'm not about, right? Like, what do I want them to know?
About right? you?
About me, yeah. So if I had a 5-minute introduction to the world, what do I want them to know?
Mm.
And so I talked about, yeah, like who I was, my name, where I'm from,
right?
What I was doing for work at the time, a big struggle. That I have, right? Like, and it had to be like with a broad theme of like masculinity, right? And like, and culture and stuff like that. And so when I found like like a point of view that was a little bit more like targeted and like specific, mm-hmm. then writing got a lot easier, right? Because I think sometimes when it comes to joke writing, especially when you're talking about like this format or whatever, a joke can be anything, mm-hmm. but because it can be anything, it's almost overwhelming, right? Mm-hmm. When you narrow down like, okay, this is what I want to talk about, mm-hmm. then that anything turns into like hundreds or dozens of potential things, right? It's a lot more manageable to work with that way than it is like, we'll see what happens or whatever, right?
So is it like something that's funny to you automatically, and then okay, I can make this into a joke? Or is it like you pull in an idea from thin air, it might be funny, it might not be funny,
I think,
and then make that funny?
I think it's evolved. So I think I started, so the opposite, I was trying to think of how do I feel about something, right? Because I try to make something funny second, right? Like the first thing is just being honest with how I'm feeling about something, right? So a lot of my comedy came from like really angry places, right? So I have jokes that like I literally talk about like growing up and, you know, a subculture or like a subsection of the machismo material is like how people used to think I was gay growing up, mm. right? Because I was a theater kid and I had a little bit of, you know, pep in my step,
yeah,
in a way you know, guys don't really do, right?
Yeah.
And so that was real. That was like, I got bullied for that kind of stuff. I got made fun of for it, right? And so when I was writing it, it was like, I'm so mad and this and the other, right? Like, screw those guys, and very Eminem 8 Mile, right? Like, I got a little sissiness to me, like, you know, like
right.
And then I made that funny, right? So it was real. Like, it was real, authentic emotions. You know, so I never had like a hard time remembering those jokes because they're real to me. These are just thoughts and feelings that I've always had.
Right.
Now we kind of put them to like a funny lens, right? And then, you know, people have a fun time with it, right? Because they either see themselves as somebody who's like, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Or the opposite was like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but that is hilarious.
So, yeah. Right? So like when you're doing those jokes, are they far enough away from the heart that you can tell them, or like, because I don't know, like, can you tell it if it's too, like, if it just happened like,
oh,
that?
Oh yeah, yeah, no, totally.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that varies from comic to comic, because I've had really good conversations with other comedians, mm-hmm. or even friends just in general, where we might be talking about stuff, just life or whatever, and because some people are just funny,
yeah,
right, we can't help but always like interject with, that should be a bit, or you should tell that on stage. And you get a mix of people who say, I don't know, it's still a little too raw, a little too close to home. Yeah.
I'm thinking that the audience can tell that too, right?
Totally. Like if
it's too close, for like sure. Maybe you shouldn't.
So I
don't know if you gauge that by, like, have you ever had a joke like that to where it was too close that you told it on stage and you're like, okay, maybe not right now?
Oh yeah, time. Definitely. You know definitely. What I'm saying? Yeah, for sure. What's it called? Really, like early on, I think I had to learn, right? And at the time I was trying to think of like taking the power back, so to speak, right? Like if I can make fun of myself when I can make fun of this or whatever, then I'm good, then I'm over it, right? But yeah. I tried and I was like, nope, still not good, still not over it. I have some work to do on myself or whatever to really like own this and share it with people, right? In such a way that we all get to have a good time, right? Because there's like a concept in performing with what is called joyous communication, right? So like, I think it's kind of what we were mentioning earlier. I think you particularly have this air about you, right? Like you when I've seen you on stage a couple of times, you have this like happiness about you, this energy that I'm like, who is this guy? I want to know his deal. What's his story? What's his vibe, right? Like, you know, so people can feel that on stage. Like, you know, when it's just you in a room of people, you know, you recently had your show at Mesquite, right? And you know, I don't know if you want to elaborate on it a little bit, like having all those eyes on, right? You could feel that, right?
Yeah.
And the same way goes for them. They could feel you looking at them. They could feel your feelings, the energy that you radiate. It's not just me, right? So
yeah.
You know what I mean? I think you can speak on that a
little bit. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like it's different from open mic, And I wasn't even, it wasn't even my show. Like, I wasn't even being featured. I was just a host.
Right.
And just telling, like, two jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, it was totally different from open mic. You had, like, you had all their attention.
Yeah.
And it's not just, it. And it's like, the room, like, the light was on me. Everything else was dark. Like, that setting in itself has its own energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And then, when I, after the second joke, I was telling you, like, man, I was like afraid at that point, like, nah, yeah, let me give it to the actual guys that are here to make y'all laugh, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But sure. Yeah, it was definitely an interesting, to tell those two jokes that I had told, as far as like stage presence and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that that it's there. And totally. now like, if I decide to continue going doing comedy,
right?
It's like, how do I use that that's a tool in the toolbox. Now I need to figure out which other tools that I need
for sure
to continue to be, you know, funny or whatever on stage and stuff, yeah, like, man. That. So I don't. It was a cool experience. Pretty cool, yeah, experience. Man. I mean, you mentioned hosting too, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. You know, love like hosting, that. Love hosting.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But yeah, definitely, man. Just being on stage. I like being on stage. I played classical guitar for years.
Mm-hmm.
I performed at the Performing Arts Center, mm-hmm, at A&M, at Del Mar, and it was solo guitar, you know, classical, yeah, guitar.
Right.
So I think that, like, a lot of that carried over to that. In school, I was always like trying to make people laugh, and it was more so like, because people were making fun of me,
right?
And I was like, okay, let me beat them to the punch before they get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That way they don't. It takes their power. Totally, away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
The power back for sure.
So that's where I was when, uh-huh, I was a kid in middle school, elementary school, and stuff like that. And then, like, even like later on in life, I would be smiling at work, just, uh-huh, joyful. And they're like, "Why are you all laughing? Why are you smiling so much?" I'm just like, why not, bro?
Why,
like,
not? Yeah.
You know, oh, you want to be mad all day? You know what I mean? It's bad for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is bad for you.
You know, so.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, man. And yeah, people will clock that on stage immediately.
It's so weird, bro.
Yeah.
No, yeah, sure. I wanted to mention, like, all three comics that were there on Mesquite last night,
uh-huh,
they had a confidence, like, in their... I don't know what it is, if there's confidence in their jokes,
right,
or in knowing who they are, you, yeah, know what, yeah, I mean? But you can tell, like, I'm going to tell these jokes, yeah, like, you're going to laugh or you're not going to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I'm still going to be who I am. You, yeah, know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and I feel like that's huge, especially for me. That's when I said, when I got afraid, I was like, damn, my confidence was just like, ow, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't know, maybe trying to more practice on my jokes. I don't know how to... I mean, do you develop that type of confidence? Because I've seen you at open mics. I've never seen an actual show of you,
right,
yours,
right.
But when you're up there, you're just like, this is what I'm going to tell. Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't care. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
Which is cool. Like, yeah. How do you develop that? You know what I mean?
I think I'm so mad. I don't remember his name, but he's a comic from Austin. I'm going to butcher his name, but I think I remember. His name is Raza Jaffrey. I think he runs East Austin Comedy Club, uh-huh, out there. I was following his socials for a while, and he had posted a reel on Instagram talking about his mindset with open mics and the audience and stuff like that, where it turned into a moment of, like, practicing gratitude, right?
Mm.
So it's something that, like, when I was a coach for speech and debate, I tried to teach, like, my students, and this is the same concept that he had, right, where it was like it changed from it's me versus the audience, right, like,
right,
I'm gonna go mess them up, I'm gonna go, oh, wow, right, like, this and that and the other with my jokes, right, like,
right.
And instead he changed it to, I'm so grateful I get to share this comedy with,
wow,
people, right?
So crazy.
And he said, we'll kind of full circle, right, like, he could see that the audience felt almost the, maybe hostility is not the right word, was the only one I could think of,
mm-hmm,
the hostility of being like, I'm about to, you know, freaking mess y'all up or whatever.
Right, right,
and,
right.
And then I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful to tell these with y'all, right? So for me, I tell my students, be excited. Don't worry about the competition. Don't worry about the trophies. Don't worry about nothing. get excited about, man, I've worked so hard on this and I get to share it with other people, right? Yeah. And then get excited that they've worked hard on what they're bringing and celebrate that too, right? And it completely like changes like how you approach open mics or even shows, right? Because now I'm like, especially getting back to basics and really looking at like my writing and trying to improve that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm just like, yeah, I'm just so grateful that I get to do this because, you know, I come from a place like where free speech is not a right, bro, right? Like, you know what I mean? You can like mess with the wrong person and literally lose your head, right? Yeah, yeah, you can talk about the wrong person, the wrong place, bro. That's where I come from.
So, I mean, yeah, it's free, but
it comes at a price, like
in some neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure, mm-hmm. man.
Maybe discounted, but not for real. Entirely, man.
For real.
So yeah, man, like and then when it doesn't work, it's just like, eh, okay, then that's not it. Back to the drawing board, right?
Oh, shoot.
So I almost forget that I'm still new to comedy, and knock on wood, I don't bomb that often.
Yeah.
I kind of forget what it's like to embrace bombing and embrace like making those mistakes and kind of falling flat on my face, right? Because you know, as cliche as it sounds, you do learn a lot more from failure than you do anything else.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
So, yeah. Definitely, yeah. Man. Yeah. When I saw your last open mic, like you were talking about getting back to basics and stuff like that. It was at the Artesian.
Yeah, yeah.
Like some of your lines, I could tell, like you rehearsed, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You can tell. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like you worked on that specific phrase. Is that what
you... Absolutely.
Yeah, I did the same way too.
You have to because, what's it called? For me, word choice is so, so...
Do you think that's important?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because, what's it called? There are just some words that evoke feelings from you. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like... I'm trying to think of a really good.
What if the audience member doesn't value words as much? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, I get you. If they're not like that's an awesome question.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, how do you totally, get to totally. Them? How do you, you know what I mean?
So my like speech and communication background, I probably have a good guess, like an educated guess. If they're not word people, they're action people, right? Mm-hmm. So think about like, have you noticed like Latin comments and even like specifically like, I don't know if you've ever seen like any Spanish comedians, right? My parents love watching a lot of like Mexican comedians growing up. They're very physical along with like their jokes, right? So they make faces or use their whole body, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think culturally, you know, Hispanic Latinos, we are physically the same way, right? Like that's how we communicate. And so when we tell jokes, it's the same thing, right? I've had tios when they talk, they're using their hands and all their body and stuff like that. They really put themselves in there. So if but at the same time, I've heard in other cultures, I had a friend who lived in Canada for a bit. She's a San Antonio comic. Talk about how in Canada they might like a little bit of like that physical stuff, right? But in Australia, another comic told me, like, if you do that stuff, they're gonna look at you like crazy.
Oh, wow. Right?
They're not really crazy about that sort of stuff, right? So there is something to that, right? And it's something that like you're not gonna think about at your local open mic, right?
Yeah.
Like, because how often are you gonna be performing in front of New Zealanders out here, you know what I mean? Like, or other parts of the world, well, whatever, right?
I mean, well, we're on the internet now, like,
yeah, that's your a good clip point.
Could go, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Could reach somebody over there and maybe they'll look at it and maybe not think it is funny, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
For so sure. Like,
how do you switch that up? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I noticed that I do that myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Body movements and even not even comedy, just talking to people,
right?
And I guess makes me think about like how sometimes our vocabulary is limited,
mm-hmm.
maybe in our culture.
Right.
You know what I mean? Then we use this to be able to express
totally
what we're saying. That makes a lot of sense to me, man.
I've seen some comedians who, and the pros, especially like people who have come through Mesquite Street, whether it's like the big stage or the club upstairs or something like that, or maybe even visiting from a city, they checked out the open mic, right? And it's really humbling to see like them come through and remind me that I ain't all that, right? Like, you know what I mean? Because they'll tell jokes without saying a single word, right? And it's all in their face, or it's all in, like, not saying anything and playing with those pauses and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm only thinking about what's on the page, right? I'm only thinking about why the chicken crossed the road, right?
Right.
But some of these people will show you, you know?
Oh, shoot.
It's crazy to me.
Yo.
So that's what I love about comedy, though, man. There's just so many of those things that you have to think about.
Yeah.
Right? And the ones who do it well, it's like another language, right? It's like the back of their heads. They don't have to think about it as often, right?
Who's some of the ones that you think do it well?
As far as what?
Comedians, like, who's somebody that you're like, damn, I wish I could, maybe like somebody that influences you as far as
like him. I think I really enjoyed Looney Tunes is a huge inspiration for
Those
guys are funny, because
physical comedy,
yeah, absolutely. Those are the kinds of shows that I would watch, like, with my family growing up. And, well, you know, when their English wasn't great, we would watch Looney Tunes, and even if they didn't understand the dialogue, they understood, like, the over-the-top mannerisms, the facial expressions, and what that, right? Like, you know, they would crack up watching that sort of stuff, right? So
cool.
Like, I'd like to think of myself as, like, a real-life Bugs Bunny. Like, that's so cool. Whenever I'm on stage, yeah, like,
yo.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, I know it's, like, a cliche to say, but, like, those are the people that I think of when I think of,
you know, comedy, I saw you at an open mic, Mesquite Street.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was, because it seemed like maybe the audience wasn't laughing.
Right.
And, like, it seemed like, I don't know if it was me or if it was you as well, but it seemed like you were frustrated, like, dude, laugh, like, this is funny.
No, I know what the fuck you're talking about. That's so funny. Yeah, dude, no. Oh, so, fun fact, like, I know exactly that you were talking about, because that was actually the second thing that made me be like, you know what, it's time to get back to basics.
Wow.
I was, at the time, I was so frustrated with myself and my writing, and I just hated, like, I was like, I can't come up with anything. I hate the stuff that I'm writing. And a comedian,
wow,
out in San Antonio, really funny dude by the name of Deez Casillas.
Mm-hmm.
I did a show with him years ago, and I was starting to have that problem of, I hate everything I'm writing. I don't like new stuff, and this and that and the other. And he said, it's because you're growing. Mm-hmm. He says, it's because you're gonna hate. I'm paraphrasing him, but he's like, you're getting the suck out. You're getting all the bad jokes, all the bad stuff, right? And I was like, growing pains. He's like, because the comic that you are now is not the writing that you are now, right?
But
you recognize this isn't it. Nope, this isn't it anymore. This isn't up to the level that I can do. But you have to train your brain, right? Like, I'd like to think that there, in comedy, there are joke writers and there are joke tellers, right? There are people who are really funny when they write, but when they tell their jokes, you know, it's a little
weird.
Might miss a little bit. And then there's people, I'd like to consider myself a joke teller.
Wow.
Where I could take something that's kind of funny and make it funnier just because of the way I say it or the face that I make or whatever, right? But my writing isn't as strong as other comedians that I know.
Yeah.
Even locally, right? The ones who I think have longevity manage to kind of mold the two together, right? But I think it's inherently, like, you either fall under one or the other. I might be, like, oversimplifying it a lot, but that's kind of how I've thought about it or whatever, right? So that night, I didn't want to go up. I didn't want to, like, tell any jokes. It's that same thing of, like, I just don't want to do it. I'm so angry at the world and angry at myself. So a couple of comics were like, dude, you already drove all the way here. Like, you know, you already signed up. You might as well do it. And one of the last guy too was like, dude, like, you're about to get called up. Just let whatever happen. And I was like, okay. So I went up there, and I told you, I'm so meticulous. I have a plan, right? Like, you know, never, and just a bunch of never do this, never do that.
Oh, shit.
You know, don't antagonize the audience. Always have a plan B if this doesn't work, right? But I was like, no net, no plan, no nothing. Just go over there and be raw. And I was like, screw you guys. I hate all of you. Oh, you want to laugh at me for being fat and kind of gay looking and but if I turn the mirror around? And some people immediately like, this is hilarious. And then there's other people who was like, is he okay?
Oh, damn.
Does he need a hug? Like, what's wrong with him? Right? But afterwards, after I was like, oh, man, I feel so bad, like, because I've never done that before, and it goes against everything that I am in comedy as of right now. That went away, and I was like, but I feel so liberated. I feel so, like, good, and I know it came at the expense of the audience that night, and I'm such a big, like, proponent of, like, it's same thing. If I don't do good, especially at those open mics,
yeah,
Corpus is so unkind to something starting up like this, that I want to do my part to be like, no, we are legit, we are talented, we are hardworking, this is going to be something big.
Damn.
But that night I was like, look, man, I'm not clocking in today. This is, you're just going to get what you're going to get out of me, right? And it was a little selfish, but in the big picture, like, I think it was something to kind of shake me up and be like, maybe I can be a little bit more assertive, not aggressive, but like assertive. It would be like, okay, like, but why can't I laugh at you now that you spent 20 minutes laughing at me? But can we turn the mirror around, right? And
and
the comics that I look up to can do that, right? Like,
crazy.
Yeah. So
yeah. Nice, man.
Yeah. You saw a very rare moment on stage of Miguel doing a no-no, right? Like, but it had to happen.
Yeah, I saw that movie, the one about the comedian. Just recently came out.
Oh, I don't...
I forgot the name of it.
I don't know what you're talking
about. It's the one by Bradley Cooper. He produced it.
I was going to be like Joker.
Nah, but there was a scene where he was like so pissed off and he went on stage with that.
Totally.
He didn't get any laughs. Like, he bombed.
No, yeah.
He just like went off on the crowd. I was like, dang!
Yes. That's right there. Oh, yeah. That happens a lot. Right.
Crazy.
And I got off really, really easy because I went up. It's a couple of audience members. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry, because we have regulars, right?
Yeah.
I was like, of course. I promise you, next time I'll go back to old me, I'll give you my best. I'll do all this stuff. And they're like, no, that was great. That was, we've never seen that side of you before. Right? And I was like, wow, you guys are so kind. You guys are so nice.
Nice.
Right. But yeah, like, ordinarily, that's not how crash outs might work or whatever, right? You know what I mean? Like, it felt good. It felt like, again, raw, honest, like, you know.
That's cool, man. We're going to end it today. I appreciate you guys listening. This is Miguel. How you say your last name?
Porfirio.
Porfirio.
Yeah, that's why I go by Miguelito, bro.
Miguelito.
I've given up on people trying to get that.
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks. Of course, man. Thank you. This is fun, dude.
See y'all later.